Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburn, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
I was 360 pounds at my very worst, and that was at 15 and 16 years old. I had chronic obstructive sleep apnea, and they found that I stopped breathing 33 times in 1 hour. I've lost over 150 pounds with this way of eating. I've never felt better. I wake up clear. I roll out of bed happy. My joints aren't aching. My brain isn't all foggy, and I can just properly wake up and enjoy my day now. When I was overweight, there was no concern as to what I was eating. But the second I switched to full meat, they go, oh, that can't be good for you. If I cut out junk food, even if I go and eat an apple, Carrie, if I eat anything sweet, and I seriously mean this in every sense of the word, if I eat an apple or a banana or anything at all that's got carbs or that's sugary in any sense, it triggers something in me that makes me want to eat everything that I have in my house.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the power of a proper human diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed to welcome Garrett to the channel. Welcome, Garrett. How are you doing?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm looking forward to hearing your story and sharing it with my audience. Maybe if we could start out, could you maybe take us back and let me know what led you to a carnivore diet? What sort of health issues did you have? That sort of thing.
Yeah. So it all started, I mean, for as long as I can remember, I was very overweight, but it didn't really start until I was around 15, 16 years old. I was 360 pounds at my very worst, and that was at 15 and 16 years old. I had chronic obstructed sleep apnea. That one was probably my biggest ailment. That one was rough. I had done a sleep study, and they found that I stopped breathing 33 times in 1 hour. And so obviously that's very straining on the heart, your brain, your organs. And that was just one of them. I had chronic joint pain. I mean, I was 15, 16 years old working part-time at Walmart, and I couldn't get through 2-3 hours without having to go to the bathroom and sit down and hide because my ankles are sore, my knees are sore. I was pre-diabetic, so my insulin was very high. I had constant brain fog, just all of these issues. I was having headaches daily, and I just kind of was waking up thinking it was normal. And then it got to the worst when I went into the doctors and they did an ultrasound on my kidneys. And at 16 years old, they told me I was at high risk of needing a stent in my right kidney due to my blood pressure. And that scared me bad. And so I just kind of got on YouTube and I said, okay, I gotta do something about this. So, you know, I had just looked on YouTube and I looked at, you know, how to lose weight fast, you know, just something simple. And I had discovered doctors like Dr. Ken Berry, who we all obviously know and love. And he's very much been a staple in my journey. But I came across his video and that challenged everything that I had been taught, everything that I believed. You know, I would get McDonald's almost every day. And, you know, my dietitian was telling me, you know, I'd get a large milkshake, I'd get two large fries and a Big Mac. And they were telling me that it was the burger, that it was the patty that was doing all that damage to me. And so I believed it. I wasn't even eating that much red meat at the time. But, you know, we want to believe that we can trust our doctors and, you know, what they say is correct. So I was listening to them and I was listening to my dietitian. And she herself was kind of overweight. And this troubled my mom a lot because I was overweight trying to get help. And here's my dietitian who's not much better off than I am. And she kind of gave me, I call it the bird food diet, right? She was telling me to eat all these yogurts, these grains, just all these, you know, salads, berries, just pure sugar and grains and carbohydrates. And she said, stay away from meat. If you're going to eat any meat, she told me eat it maybe once, twice a week and have some salmon. And so I've been doing this for a while. It just didn't work. And finally I committed to just following this keto diet at first. This is what kind of introduced me to what I now know is carnivore. But Dr. Ken Berry, I watched his YouTube video and here he is talking about, you know, it's okay to eat bacon. It's okay to eat meat. He's like, and he kept it very simple, which is what I very much appreciated about him. You know, he said, eat when you're hungry and stop eating when you're full, you know, salt your food and eat plenty of meat and don't fear it. And I said, okay, we're going to give this a shot. And so I did it. And within the first 9 months, I did keto for about 11 months, a little under a year. And I lost close to 80 pounds initially. And my keto diet consisted a lot of like, I had a lot of chicken, cheese, low carb vegetables. So broccoli was a big part of that. But something that I was also eating a lot of was, or drinking a lot of, was like diet Pepsis and still foods that were kind of problematic. And so I kind of hit this wall where I wasn't progressing. You know, I was still maintaining the diet, but I was having these issues. And then I discovered doctors like Sean Baker and Anthony Chaffee and all of these doctors that are proclaiming the carnivore diet. And they all seem very healthy. They all look fantastic. So I said, okay, I'm going to go even further. And I ended up doing that and my headaches continued to go away. I was feeling better while I did keto. You know, the weight was coming off. But more importantly, when I started carnivore, I continued to lose weight. I'm now, as of, I think, a couple days ago, I weighed in at 201. So I've lost over 150 pounds with this way of eating. And I've never felt better. I wake up clear. I roll out of bed happy. My joints aren't aching, my brain isn't all foggy, and I can just properly wake up and enjoy my day now. And so, you know, that kind of, I'm carnivore right now. But yeah, it started with keto and led me to that.
And how long have you been on this journey from keto to eventually carnivore, from the 150 pounds down?
Yeah, so it started when I was 16, like anywhere from 15 to 16, it's kind of a blur. But all the way until obviously today, and I'm 21 right now. So, it's been 4 or 5 year journey maybe. And for the most part, it was keto. I'm going to say it was a little more than 11 months. I kind of bounced around when I was trying to figure it out. But I did keto and then came to carnivore, and I've been strict carnivore for a little over a year, probably a year and a half. Year and a half has been complete carnivore.
Why do you feel like you need to do carnivore instead of just keto?
That was really just a personal choice for me because I was still having issues with the. Sorry, can you hear my dog whining?
Oh, a little bit, yeah.
A little bit. Okay, give me. Is it an issue if I?
No, go right ahead. Yeah, go right ahead. Okay, no worries.
I apologize.
No problem. I got dogs too. I love dogs.
Yeah, she's a new puppy. We're working with her, but I can hear her whining. So
yeah, no problem. Sure. I think we were talking about, I don't know if you finished it, but why did you choose carnivore? Why didn't keto work for you? Or yes. I shouldn't say that. Well, what is it about carnivore? How's a good way to phrase this? I'm sorry. I'm trying to be careful because people get so mad at me. And I'm always
right.
Like,
no, I get you.
Carnivore is just a strict ketogenic diet. They're both keto, but carnivore is just stricter. But what is it? Why did you decide to go carnivore instead of just staying keto?
Yeah. So keto, although it did wonders for me, it was very possible that it was probably just what I was choosing to eat that I was still maybe not feeling my best from. So my keto diet looked a lot like I had pickles a lot. I had a lot of like asparagus, a lot of broccoli, just low carb vegetables. But I was also eating banana peppers. I really liked banana peppers, but the issue with keto is that I think overall it allows for some faulty ingredients to still get into the food that you're eating. So even on keto, a big snack that I went to was like pepperoni or salami. But obviously that, you know, the processed meat, it's a little bit more problematic. It can be a lot for people who are already suffering from inflammation and dealing with problems. So for me, I totally felt like I was still having these issues, and I was still eating foods that, although they fit the keto scale in terms of, you know, I was really trying to focus on mitochondrial health. I really wanted to focus in on inflammation and limiting that in every way I could. And I was still having issues, right? I'd have these sleeping fits where I felt like I couldn't fall asleep, couldn't stay asleep when I was asleep. I was still having headaches, and I was still having some stomach issues. So I decided to just make the jump, and I said, okay. And so how it looked for me was I kind of just slowly took everything out. So I immediately stopped the Diet Pepsi, and I went to sparkling water, Topo Chico sparkling water. And then I went to, instead of low veggies, I just did no vegetables at all. And I maybe did like a ketovore, I guess you could call it, where I had onions, in the meat sometimes. And I transitioned for about a week and then went strict carnivore. And I just said, okay, this is it. This works way better. I feel way better. Those missing parts of the puzzle that I felt like I was so close to getting, just finally kind of fell into place when I went to full carnivore. So that's why I choose to do carnivore. Because it works better for me. I feel better than I did on keto, and I did keto for a long time. So I was really able to hone in on what was bothering me. And carnivore just simply, I don't think, allows for any kind of faulty thing to get in there and possibly damage your body.
Yeah, I'm with you. I did the same thing. I did keto for maybe 10, 15 years, and oh, wow. It was great. I don't know that I would have ever started carnivore if not for having dipped my foot in the water with keto, because it just sounded crazy. Yep. All that sounds crazy. But, yeah. I feel so much better on carnivore. The other big difference for me was I realized that all those years I did keto, I was sort of in some way moderating my addiction to carbs. Just like, oh, yep. I could have 20 carbs. And I would always do that. And I'd be like, just jonesing for some more. Like, I'm just going to have a handful of mixed nuts right now, low carb nuts or something like that. And I'd always end up overeating them.
For me, it was like a spoonful of peanut butter or something. I was like, oh, I can get a little, because on keto, if you're just doing keto to lose weight, you can have cheat meals. Or, you know, that was a big thing in the keto community was, you know, cheat meal once a week or for one meal every week. And, you know, I totally used that and took full advantage of it, but I paid for it the next day because I always felt bad. But
wow, our story's similar. I used to do that in keto too. I have the big cheat day. And then it would turn into like a binge, basically, because it's this is the last time I could eat. Got to go get some pizza, some Chinese food. Got to get all the sweets and all that.
Make a day of it.
Yeah. And sadly, oftentimes the day would turn into, oh, look at that. It's the first of the month in 3 days. I'll just start over next month.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then, oh, it's the new year's coming up.
Just kept pushing it back.
Excuse after excuse, but.
Yep.
Man, your story is incredible. Do you you should be so proud of yourself. That is incredible, dropping 150 pounds. We always use the bowling ball analogy. So if you imagine a 10-pound bowling ball, you were carrying around 15 10-pound bowling balls. You're not carrying around anymore.
Yeah, but even when I go to the gym and I lift up, you know, 250-pound dumbbells and I'm struggling to walk over to the bench, I'm like, man, I don't know how I was walking around with this on me. Right. All the time, you know, so puts it into perspective.
Yeah.
For me.
You mentioned earlier something that I think is very important. Most people in the world, myself included, before I found a proper human diet, I was worried about the meat. I was worried about clogging my arteries. I was worried about cholesterol. That was it. That was all I was worried about. Yeah. You mentioned inflammation. Mm-hmm. Why were you worried about inflammation?
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now, and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop. Under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members only videos. We do members only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is we have these Redmond's portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt. You can take it with you. We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all of those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
Why were you worried about inflammation?
Well, because I had all these symptoms that I didn't understand why I was having them. And I learned that it's because of a chronic misuse of something in the body, right? I didn't understand what it was, but I, through learning, through watching Dr. Ken Berry and all these other doctors, I realized, okay, inflammation. And they kept saying that word. And before this, I had no idea what this even was. All I was ever told is, well, your LDL's high. We need to work on that. That's all it was. There was no talk ever about my hemoglobin, A1C. There was no talk anywhere regarding my other hormones or my other bodily functions. It was just the LDL. And then here's these doctors talking about inflammation. And then that kind of shifted the paradigm for me a little bit. And then I went, okay, well, all these are symptoms of something going on. There's an issue going on and I don't know what it is, but I'm having symptoms. Headaches are not normal. If you're waking up with headaches, if you're just having all of these symptoms, joint pain, headaches, fatigue, tiredness, irritability, all of these are symptoms that something is not working properly. And so I didn't know what was inflamed. I just knew my joints hurt, my head hurts, my stomach hurts. I'm having all of these issues. So let me focus and just listen to this doctor. You know, I've tried several things up to this point. So I said, screw it. What's one more? And sure enough, as I'm focusing on carnivore and keto, and it's a very low inflammatory diet or way of eating, I like to call it. You know, I ended up just those things kind of slowly started going away. And there were things that were going away that I didn't even know were related to possible inflammation or just a misuse of things within my body. So that's kind of what did it for me, because I thought there's no way high LDL is giving me all these issues. Right. I said, there's just no way. I didn't believe it from the beginning. It didn't make sense to me. And then, you know, come to find out now, it's really not that big of a concern to me. And my LDL has only gone up since I've started carnivore. But everything else has improved across the board. And I feel so much better now.
Yeah. I've learned that too, doing this documentary and filming these doctors. Like you mentioned Dr. Berry, we just got back from Tennessee filming him, spent a couple days down there, filmed him on the
farm. Yeah, I watched that video, you guys doing the farm work.
Yeah, and yeah. What I learned from him was inflammation. I interviewed Dr. Philip Ovadia for the documentary, and heart disease is the number one killer right now. And he said it's all inflammation and insulin resistance. Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned, all of these doctors, I started noticing, they have different specialties. Heart disease, Dr. Tony Hampton was talking about type 2 diabetes. Inflammation, insulin resistance. I'm like, you look around in the world right now, you go to the grocery store right now, everybody's inflamed and nobody's worried about it. They're all worried. You say, I'm doing carnivore. They're like, oh, I wonder what your cholesterol is. Meanwhile, their whole body's inflamed. And the thing that I learned early on was that chronic inflammation, if you have that for years and years, decades and decades, that's what results in cancer. Chronic inflammation, systemic inflammation for so long. It just blows my mind that so many people are oblivious to it. It's crazy. It's one of the big topics we're talking about in the documentary. But you mentioned your mom earlier with the dietitian, which I love what you said there too, because I had the same thing. Everyone that was giving me advice, I'd go to the doctor and the guy's like overweight and inflamed, and it's not judging. It's just like, man, if you're gonna give me advice on weight, why can't you do it? And meanwhile, all the doctors that you mentioned, Dr. Berry, Dr. Chafee, like these guys are all fit. They're all
Dr. They look Chafee. Incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I want to be more like that.
Exactly.
What was this like for your mom? Because you started this at a younger age.
Yeah.
Was she like, this is nuts, you can't just eat meat, or was she open to it?
So she was open to the idea of me just losing weight in general, because neither of us knew where to start. You know, it was hard on both of us. You know, God bless her, she did what she could, but you know, we had gone to the dietitian, and we have high hopes for this, right? But yeah, she herself was overweight, and then the diet she recommended was just not good. And then I went, okay, she's either following this diet and it's not working because she's recommending it, or she's not recommending it. And then that begs the question, why is she not doing it herself if she's recommending it? So whatever way you went with it, there was a problem. And so then she gives me this printout of the American Diabetes Association, you know, the recommendations for what to eat. And here I go, little old me following this. And then after just a couple months, I said, Mom, I can't do this. Like, I am overweight. This is not helping. I want to eat everything when I taste sugar. When I eat sugar, when I eat carbohydrates, anything remotely sweet, I want to eat everything in sight. And I can't stop. And that was a bad habit that I formed through eating all these foods. And that, you know, all these foods have these chemicals and toxins and additives that are designed to make you want it. You know, you eat food for entertainment. That's no different than drinking or smoking for simply the joys of it. And I said, I'm going to just try this and I hope you're okay with it. And I tried to give her the research. I tried to give her the credentials. I tried to say, you know, he's a family physician. He's, you know, he always starts every video, I'm a family physician of over 20 years. I was like, Mom, this guy's legit. And I said, and what I did, and this is what won her over, I said, look at him. And she goes, oh, he's a good looking guy. And I said, yeah, better than our dietitian. So that already, you know, if you practice what you preach, it puts you ahead of everybody, every other medical professional who's telling you something that they're either not following themselves or they don't recommend themselves and they just have to say it. So I ended up doing the diet. She was worried about LDL. She was worried about it at first, but then the weight started dropping off. I started feeling better. I started performing better in just every avenue of my life. And that fear kind of went away. And then I kind of just it might have been irrational, but I said, I was like, even if LDL is going to kill me, I was like, I'd rather die feeling like this. I seriously, like, nothing compares to this. I would just wake up and I would smile. I was like, man, it feels so good to feel good. And I said, at that point, I didn't even care if LDL was really as big of a threat as they were saying it was, because I had never felt better. So I wouldn't trade that for anything now. Now that I know what I know, and that I still continue to do research and study, because, you know, we want to be intelligent beings. I want to be able to defend why I do this, because, you know, I'm curious to hear what you'd have to say on this, but I felt very alienated from friends and even some family. You know, when I was overweight, there was no concern as to what I was eating. But the second I switched to full meat, they go, oh, that can't be good for you. And that was frustrating for me, you know. So I'm curious yourself. I know you dealt with just obesity and oh my goodness, I'm blanking on it. With your heart.
I had congestive heart failure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at my heaviest, I was 100 pounds heavier than I am right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly like you said, the family, never once were they concerned when I was 100 pounds overweight and shoving junk food and Doritos and pie in my mouth. Never once. Mm-hmm. And now that they see me losing weight, I remember when I first started a couple months in at a family reunion.
Yeah.
All the pushback. And it wasn't even pushback. I think it's a subconscious thing, but it's almost evil, because people like, oh, come on, you can have one cupcake. You can just have one. I'm like,
yeah,
that almost killed me before. Meanwhile, I'm healthier now than I've ever been. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's malicious. I think it's kind of subconscious. It's like, they feel
it's
bad
what we've
about
all
what
taught.
They're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I treat it like I was a hard drug addict. And I was addicted, and I've overcome that. So for people trying to push that in your face, it's so irritating. It frustrates me even more now, because my whole family is doing this now. And my triplets, my older daughter, Lily, when I see them doing it to my girls, it just drives me insane. They're doing so good. They're doing so much better now. And then to have that temptation is crazy.
Yeah.
It's a very frustrating thing. I was going to say, when you said to your mom, look at Dr. Barry, he's a good looking guy. Absolutely. Yeah. I said the same thing. I was like, if that one didn't work, I'll pull out the Chafee one next.
Baker one next. And then just, Baker, keep going. Just go down the list.
Paul Saladino, even all of them. They're all fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the questions I was going to ask you is, what about your mindset? Did you notice any changes there? I don't know if you had any depression, but even if you didn't have depression, do you have better like clarity of mind afterwards on carnivore, or less brain fog is another one I hear often?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that was one of the things earlier I'd mentioned where I said things were going away that I didn't even know were related to it. My mental clarity was one of them. I suffered horribly from just anxiety, really bad, just general anxiety. And I had a bit of an undiagnosed OCD in there because I would leave rooms and I'd have to touch a door handle a certain amount of times. Or if I would go to the bathroom, I had these weird habits where I'd have to stare at the faucet and recite things in my head. And I didn't know that was OCD, you know, and I didn't ever get concerned about it because these were all like self-soothing things that I was doing. I was very anxious. I did suffer from, you know, seasonal depression, but I can't say I had it to the extent at which people have it. You know, people do genuinely suffer from that. And by the grace of God, I have not had anything severe. But definitely anxiety, really bad anxiety. And I just felt, and I think it had to do as well with probably because I had low testosterone. But my mental space was not good. I was very defensive. I'd get irritable. I was very emotional. There'd be days where it's just, I'd call my mom and you know, I was in high school, freshman, sophomore at the time. And I'm like, Mom, I just want to come home. I don't feel good. I'm not feeling happy. I just want to be in my room. And I would go home and on the way, I'd stop at the gas station and I'd get two bags of Flamin' Hot Cheetos and I'd go home. And here I am wondering what's wrong with me, but I'm eating these foods that have dyes that have been proven to be neurotoxic to people. And it unraveled a whole thing for me that I didn't even realize was connected to simply what I was putting in my mouth and what I was eating. So it definitely cleared up. I'm definitely a lot better than I am now. And I have more discipline. I'm able to give myself, you know, self-confidence, any sense of the word in terms of mental improvement. I've experienced it.
What do you say to people? I get this comment often, like, this is great that you found this healing, Carrie, but you would have done the same thing, Garrett, if you just got rid of the junk food.
Mm. Yeah. So I think it's very different for every person. I do account for that. I do understand that everybody's wired a little differently. But just getting rid of the junk food, well, what does that mean? What is your, you know, what is your definition of junk food? Because people have very different definitions. And you know, it's so normalized. I mean, I watch TV with my wife just at the end of the night. I don't know how many times I see commercials of food that is junk food and it's being labeled as nutritious, or, you know, it's nutritional and it's valuable and it's, you know, Capri Suns even. It's just loaded with sugar. And you've got kids jumping on trampolines, playing outside, and it's talking about rehydrating and, you know, even Gatorade. It's like, that to me is a junk food, but that's marketed and promoted as a health food and as a, you know, an electrolyte boost, if you will. So I think if you cut out the junk food, I think absolutely that's a good start, but it runs much deeper than just that, because then it comes down to, it's more about what you're not eating than what you are eating. And so it starts with the junk food. Absolutely. I will agree with that. But to me, that only got me so far, you know, and I think keto was my example of that, or paleo. But, you know, as somebody who at heart, I'm a naughty fat boy and I love to eat. So I have to be conscious of that. If I cut out junk food, even if I go and eat an apple, Carrie, if I eat anything sweet, and I seriously mean this in every sense of the word, if I eat an apple or a banana or anything at all that's got carbs or that's sugary in any sense, it triggers something in me that makes me want to eat everything that I have in my house. And for hours, I just want to binge. Even if I catch myself, you know, maybe I had something sweet in the previous years or months, or I give in whatever it is. And then I say, no, I'm going to stop. You know, whenever I eat sugar, that satiety signal that tells me I'm full just leaves the face of the earth. And I just, I eat everything. So for me, removing just junk food didn't do it. It didn't work enough because I had a lot of issues that I had to reverse, but you can only do that through eating nutrient dense foods that fuel your body down to the molecular level. And that is meat. That's red meat all day.
Yeah. Great answer. I'm with you on that too. I feel like when I added the meat back in, the fatty meat in particular, everything got better. My depression went away. Testosterone went up. Mm-hmm. Sleep improved. And it's all just hormones. I mean, our bodies, they're made of, we need protein and fat. We need those things. You can't get them from olive oil or plants and stuff like that. But I was going to say something else on that last point. Oh, it was something good too. Sorry.
No, you're okay.
I'll edit this part out. Oh, I had a really good question. What's it like now with your mom this is crazy. You're down like 150 pounds. Was it like a big milestone? Have you had like a party or something at these certain milestones? You're down 100 pounds. You're down 150 pounds.
Yeah. Not really. Honestly, I have this bad habit of just wanting, it's not a bad habit, but I definitely don't stop and appreciate the progress that's been made sometimes or as much as I should. And my wife reminds me of that a lot because I'll put on clothes. I have old clothes from when I was really big that I like to just lounge around the house in. But there's some clothes that I still wear outside. And she says, and every now and then I'll put one on. And I'll go, wow, I was really that big. And she's like, yeah, she's like, you need new clothes. She's like, you need to celebrate. She's like, you are a new person. And so she's very supportive of it. And then my mom, she's even to the point now where she's low carb. She's like in a kind of, it's a mix between paleo and keto. It's still relatively low carb. And to me, anything low carb is, I think anything over 60 is pushing it. 75 is probably pushing it a little too much. But I think 25 to 50 grams of carbs a day is the sweet spot. At least that's what I was following. But she's seen, my mom firsthand, she's seen what it did for me in my life. And people are so surprised that I didn't go to the gym during this time. Not once did I go to the gym. I wasn't worried about that. I said, no, I need to fix what I'm doing in my own home, in my bedroom. I need to fix that first, and then I'll go to the gym. And, you know, that to me showed that a lot of people kind of have a false idea of what weight loss is, or fat loss specifically. You know, they're all talking about caloric deficits and going to the gym. And I said, I didn't go to the gym at all. And I ate way more than I probably thought I was, but I ate until I was full. And, you know, that was good. And then my mom saw the benefits of that firsthand. She saw everything change. And it's gotten to the point where I'm now a diehard advocate for it. You know, you become carnivore and you see all these miraculous things that you experience and you just want to tell everybody about it. You try not to because you don't want to be that guy. But also you're like, I think this could seriously do some wonders for you. So right. She's seen it and she's tried it. She's given it a couple shots. It's hard to start, but she's also becoming a lot more conscious now about what she's eating. And so I think that's really good. You know, that's a start.
Yeah, that's great. I love what you mentioned about the gym. I think that's an important takeaway for anyone listening here because I was the same way. I'm down 100 pounds since my heaviest. Didn't lose any of that from going to the gym. Mm-hmm. And I go to the gym now all the time because I have this excess carnivore energy. I feel like I'm going to be up all night if I don't do it. And it feels good. It feels so good to exercise and get out there. But I'll see people in the gym that are like my former self, 100 pounds mm-hmm. heavier. I feel so bad for them because there's a lot of people. They think that's what they think. I've got to go run on the treadmill for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And you can do the basic math on that. The treadmill mm-hmm. will even like show you, oh, you're down, even if you're down like 500 calories.
Yeah.
And then you go, what always happens afterwards, it used to for me, and I think it does for many people, I did good at the gym now. I can go treat myself. And then you lose 500 calories at the gym.
Yep.
Calories, which that's a whole other story. And then you go eat 2000 calories of fast food or something afterwards because you feel mm-hmm. like you did something. It's 99.9% every single person I've talked to that's done carnivore, it's like they lost weight because of their nutrition. It's 99% nutrition. Of course exercise is important if you could tolerate it, but that drove me nuts too, because before this, when I was fat, that was the message I was told. I'm like, I can barely get off the couch. I'm depressed. I've got arthritis in my foot. Now you're telling me I got to go jog on a treadmill.
Right. That's the last thing I'm thinking of doing.
Yeah. You set people up for failure that way.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to say that I forgot before was you mentioned the fruits and vegetables, man. Mm-hmm. I think so many of us are similar, but the stuff you're saying, I'm like, that's me right there. I can't eat an apple. I can't eat a banana. None of that. I'd be completely binging for it. I feel like most people are that way, but maybe it went a little further for us, but the stuff is made to be so addictive, and fruit in particular. Everyone that hears I'm doing carnivore, you can't eat fruit. It's so good. It's held in such a high regard, but even like the apple you mentioned, it's been changed by man to be sweeter and sweeter and sweeter to the point now we have giant big balls of sugar.
Yeah.
It converts to glucose in the blood. You're jonesing for more sugar. It used to be like maybe a long time ago, there could have been some health benefits to it. Banana, apple, now it's just all sugar.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my main things for talking people into carnivores, so I'm a big history nerd. I love history. And I go, well, you know, unless you're in a specific spot of the world, there's maybe a couple places in the world. And I think Paul Saladino is in one of them, for example, Costa Rica, right? He's in a place that allows for these fruits to be around all year round, right? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that just because they're there, you can eat them. But I look at my ancestors, I look at where I kind of came from. I'm Scandinavian, Northern European. They had harsh winters. 2 to 3 months out of the year was all they had to really maybe get some grains, get some fruits, get some vegetables. But it was mainly vegetables, and it was probably lots of berries, and it was probably lots of grains. That's just ancestrally speaking. I never try to argue that humans never ate carbs, because absolutely we did. But we ate it for maybe 1 to 2 months out of the year, and it was with the intent of getting ready of going into the next 10 months of just solid winter cold, and there's nothing. I mean, even when we learn about the Native Americans and the colonists, it's like when they came over here, kind of a cool little history fact, but when we wanted the Native Americans out of a certain area, what did we do? We went after the North American bison and we killed them off. That's how valuable meat is to people and cultures. And we now live in a place where I can go 2 miles east and I'm at a Walmart and I've got access to every single item. I don't even want to call it food because it's not. But I have access to all of these consumable items that I can just eat that our ancestors, even 100 years ago, weren't around.
Right.
And you wonder why all these issues are coming up. And as you go carnivore and get more into it, you start connecting all those little dots and you say, oh, well, autism is at an all-time high right now. We have cancer developing in people as early as 30s and 40s. We have chronic metabolic disease. And a great book that I'd recommend for either your viewers or I'm assuming you've gotten around to it, but it's Metabolical by Dr. Robert Lustig. He's a neuroendocrinologist, but he explains in depth very well just how the system, how we as a human people are just getting more sick and sick and sick. And it blows my mind that people don't automatically go, eh, well, it's what I'm eating. You know, when I was younger and I couldn't focus in school, I went to the doctors and within 2 minutes I had prescription strength Adderall. Not anywhere did they talk about my eating habits, my sleeping habits, the food that I was eating. They didn't once ask me anything about that. The problem wasn't that I was eating poor foods that were not setting me up for proper thinking, for my brain to work well. That wasn't the issue. The issue was that I didn't have Adderall. And that's kind of the view. And I know I kind of got off track there, but it all just goes back to historical. You know, what were we eating? And it was meat. You know, we drew pictures in the cavemen. They drew pictures of the megafauna, the big, meaty, fatty animals.
Not broccoli?
They weren't drawing broccoli, and they sure as heck were not drawing Reese's. They weren't drawing all these processed, sugary, sweet foods.
Yeah.
And so meat is so important. And they would often spend 2-3 days going after a herd of elk if they found tracks. If they found a berry bush on the way, 100%, they ate it. They ate it till it was gone. But it wasn't the focus. Carbohydrates were not the main source. And they knew that, you know, so that's why they only utilized it when it was allowed. And then other than that, it was meat.
Yeah. I love all that stuff. I was going down the rabbit hole recently on corn. You mentioned Native Americans, like the corn Native Americans used to eat. There was a process. I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right. Nixtamalization, I think it was. they would like soak the corn in lye before they would eat it, because you're like, this, you can't eat this garbage. Like,
yeah.
And it wouldn't release the vitamins. There are vitamins in corn, but they're not bioavailable unless you do this process.
Yep.
We don't do the process anymore. And the corn we have now is bred over and over again by man, just like the fruit, to be sweeter. If a Native American back then ate corn now, they'd be like, what the hell is this? Like, it's so sweet. It's like candy. Yeah. What is it? And now the corn today, too, beyond all of that, it's just riddled with glyphosate.
Absolutely.
All of
that was going to be my next point. Yep.
Crazy.
What? Yeah. So I live in Idaho. And obviously, Idaho, our thing is potatoes. That's just what we can grow here. Other than that, it's desolate. You know, we have animals around here. But other than that, it's potatoes. And there's a billboard where farmers are actively advocating for the use of glyphosate because it makes for a successful business model and it gives them more money. In that sense, I totally understand it. But in terms of individual health and promoting your health, glyphosate is not it. It is not safe for consumption. And all of our food on a mass industrialized scale, agriculture is not beneficial for human health because you have to add things like glyphosate and pesticides and all of these things to try and control what our ancestors would have never tried to do. They would have had a little centralized group. They would have had maybe a plot of some crops for a time. It wasn't the way it is now. And so that's why I don't eat fruit. Even if I enjoyed it or wanted to, I go, I don't know where this has been and I don't know what's on it. And all it says is that it's an apple, and that doesn't give me much information.
Right. Yeah. And even like organic produce, I've been learning more about. The people will make the argument, I'll just eat organic then. I just saw this thing, 60% of organic kale tested had glyphosate on it.
Today's video is sponsored proudly by ButcherBox. They recently launched a new initiative where you can support your local USA American farmers. Support American farmers with this new US pasture-raised beef from ButcherBox. This is USDA choice meat. Look at this ribeye, it's absolutely fantastic. The cows are never in feedlots. They're pasture raised. There's no antibiotics, no hormones. You're supporting a local American farmer. I get so many people asking me, how can I do that? Now you can do it with ButcherBox. There's more details, including a really special offer, if you use the link in the description below. Thank you so much for watching. Now back to today's video.
60%. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's everywhere. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
I get in arguments with people about glyphosate, but I've talked to so many people healing on carnivore, and I know the reasons why now, and you've discussed many of them here. And I think another one of them is carnivore is the best diet to return to what's natural and eliminate things like glyphosate.
Mm-hmm.
If you Google glyphosate, it's actually an antibiotic. And so the fact that humans, and then cynical people will say, oh, it's the dose that matters. It's such a small amount of glyphosate, it's not going to matter. If you're having it on every single time you eat a meal, years and years, every time you have a bowl of cereal, you have a potato that's desiccated with glyphosate all over it. Every time you're having corn, all of this stuff, low levels of antibiotics in your stomach for years and years. And like you said earlier, you look around and everyone's just so sick. The thing that blows my mind is we normalize it as humans in some way. Like it happens slowly over our little tiny lives, but that, to us, that's everything. So we're just like, well, that's just the way it's always been. Kids walking around with fatty liver disease. You go to the grocery store, people have limbs amputated from the food they're eating. You were stopping breathing throughout the night from your CPAP machine.
Yeah.
From foods you were eating. I did the same thing. And that blew my mind afterwards. I was like, I'm literally like choking to death because I'm choosing to eat these foods.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Choking me to death at night. Great. Yeah. I have to have a device pump air into my system so I don't die at night.
Just because I want to eat a bag of chips. Yeah.
Yeah. It's insane. It's so crazy. Do you just walk around when you're looking in the world now and just look at things differently with a different perspective?
Absolutely. And it's almost more sad now, you know, than it was. I'm a freshman at Idaho State University. I'm going for my bachelor's of science in nursing, and I work at Walmart. I'm back at Walmart, just, you know, pay the bills, get me through it while I do school. And there's a lot of customers, there's a lot of people, you know, not in a judgmental way, but simply through observing, I see lots of people who for their age should not be in the condition that they are in. And it genuinely saddens me and troubles me And then I saw, I won't give specifics, but there was an individual who could not have been more than 25 years old on oxygen in one of the disabled carts because he couldn't walk because of his size. And sure enough, in his cart, it's loaded with pops. It's loaded with chips. It's loaded with ramen noodles. It's loaded with all of these ultra processed foods that are destroying his body. And part of me goes, if only he knew an ounce, if only he knew a fraction of what that food is doing to him, you know, but at the end of the day, it comes down to a choice because I could have stopped it. I could have said something a lot earlier when I was obese, but I didn't. You know, you either change when you can or you're forced to change. And that's how I noticed it was for me. I had plenty of opportunity when I was in that stage to change, but I kept pushing it off, pushing it off, pushing it off. And then I was forced to change when I was facing, you know, possibly needing surgery to get this thing in me so that my blood could just get to my body. And that, you know, looking back at it now, I go, man, I wouldn't ever, ever go back to that. And there's people now that are suffering and they're being misled and misinformed and disinformed by a lot of medical professionals that, you know, because, and this is more of a moral question, but, you know, the ADA and the all of these associations that are focused on health, they're multi-million dollar industries. What money is in it for them if they tell people you actually don't need this medicine, you don't need this pill, all you need to do is change your diet? You know, what money's in it for them if they do that? There isn't any.
Right.
And so for me, that was where I realized, okay, you know, a lot of these diseases, and I'm sure I'd love to hear what you have to say on this. You know, when I grew up, I thought diabetes, you couldn't fix it. I thought if you had it, you were done. It was a game over. I thought if you had, you know, cancer, it was, oh, well, it's already been in your body for years. And it's just, you know, you just get it. Alzheimer's, it's genetic, nothing you can do about it. Dementia, all of these issues, I'm thinking you just, once you get them, you're done. And then through this, the things I've been learning and researching and understanding, right, I realized that that's not the case. It surely starts early on. You know, there are people who are becoming so ill that they're starting that in 20 years, they're going to have things like cancer or dementia or all these things. But it wasn't just brought on. It was over time. And that's kind of what these medical companies do in these pharmaceutical industries is they give you the medicine to where it works just enough to where you maybe get a little relief, but it doesn't work to the point where you need to keep coming back and you need to continue to get it from them. And so I just, every single day I wake up and I go, man, it breaks my heart because where's the interest in personal health? Where did that go? And, you know, it troubles me a lot. And that's what drove me to, you know, I was a successful welder before this. I had no interest in becoming any kind of nurse or doctor. And now I'm going to the goal is to become a nurse practitioner because I want to help people genuinely understand. You know, I don't want to just give you something to where you have to keep coming back to me. I want to equip you with the knowledge and power so that you can do it in your own home at any given time. You know, knowledge is power and people aren't aware of what's going on. And that's why we're so sick.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible that this has changed sort of the course of your future career. I was going to ask you as the next question. Next Dr. Barry coming up here. That's pretty awesome.
I mean, something like that. I definitely want to make a YouTube channel. That's why I was very honored to do this. So I thank you for having me on this. I appreciate you responding when I reached out.
Oh, absolutely. You know? I'm so glad we're doing this. And if you get a YouTube channel going, I will shout it from the rooftops. I think.
Well, I appreciate that very much.
The fact that you've got your own personal story, but you're passionate enough about this and you're doing it for the right reasons, you want to help other people. I think it's incredible. And what you said earlier, you're kind of asking, I was the same way. I thought type 2 diabetes, not until I saw Dr. Barry's video, how to reverse type 2 diabetes. And now with what I've learned, type 2 diabetes would not even be a word. It wouldn't even be in existence if we were all eating a proper human diet.
Exactly.
That's the criminal thing with it too. Like you're saying, there's some people won't do this until they're desperate. And that's their choice. But the thing that drives me nuts is most people just don't know. They have no idea. And
a thought on their radar.
Yeah. A lot of people that are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, even, for example, my cousin has it. I just saw him. I've talked about it on my channel before. Just saw him a couple of days ago for Easter. He had part of his toes amputated, then his foot, and now his whole leg at the knee is amputated from type 2 diabetes, which goes back to what we were talking about before, history. In the history of mankind, we've never seen human amputations other than for war or major accidents, not from foods we're eating. Like, that should blow everybody's mind. But you go to Walmart right now and there's people missing limbs from the foods they're eating. But he, and like I think many people, even cancer, type 2 diabetes, major health issues, one of the most criminal things that I think happens to people is they're told, well, this is just you. This is a fluke. You got type 2 diabetes, it's your genetics, it's this or that, but here's some medication. It's just like what you said. And then they give them just enough medication to drag them along. They never mention the root cause of the issue. And it's almost like victim blaming in some way. I don't think it's even meant to be victim blaming, though. It's just lazy. It's like, this is what's going to sell the medication. But telling someone that has type 2 diabetes, it's just a fluke, like my cousin, he really believes, like, no, this is just me. I'm weird. There's something wrong with me and I can't do anything about it. And I see him here every holiday and he's drinking Pepsi and eating a birthday cake with his foot and his leg missing. He's like, oh, it's okay. I'll check this monitor, but there's something wrong with me. So I can't do anything about it. It's just nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, the paradigm has just changed. I saw this meme. I'm very active on these Facebook groups and these carnivore groups. And it's just genetic starter pack. And it was the Monster energy drinks and the cigarettes and the vapes and all the sweet coffees. And that's, I'm a huge anti-sweet coffee person because I don't think, you're not even addicted to coffee at that point. It's sugar. Yeah. Every single thing we can drive up to, the fact that we can drive up to a building, not even get out of our car, stick our hand through our window for $5 to $10 and have over 50 grams of sugar in our hand. Is insane to me.
It's nuts.
And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. You cannot avoid it. And then, but you're the insane one for not eating it and eating meat.
Yeah. More credit to you, Garrett, because you're half my age. And I've talked about this before, man, you're 21. So you're just a couple of years older than my daughters, which just blows my mind. But I said this before, I'm like, man, I was so sick. I was on 15 different medications and I ate pretty bad. But what you just said, when I see my daughters or your generation, the coffee, like all these kids are walking around and it's just pure sugar.
Just 20 ounces of sugar.
Yeah, with caffeine and coffee and probably some food dyes and seed oils mixed in there just for good measure. Oh, yeah. It's just guaranteed. Insane. That's why I'm so passionate about doing this documentary, because I'm like, I'm a big boy, right? I healed. I'm good to go now. I really don't care that I'm like, I care, but I'm like, I can move on. But now I look at my girls and this next generation coming up, and it's even worse for you guys and for them. The processed stuff in the store now, it's like tenfold what it was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It's
everywhere. And it seems you have to, and I think that's why it's so convenient for people, is because it's everywhere. And I mean, you know, you can play to the, you know, who has the time to sit down and read every ingredient, because there's hundreds. I mean, there's packages where it's the print's that small, I have trouble seeing it, and they're 50 items long. And you know, it seems that if you want to get healthier, you have to spend a little bit more money, and it almost seems like the incentive is to just eat cheaper and dirtier because it's more efficient, right? And we get in this belief that we just, you know, I see all these commercials, and I saw one earlier and I just laughed at it. It was a McDonald's one for DoorDash. This girl woke up and she checks her phone and she's all groggy and she smiles, jumps out of bed, and she goes to her door and she's got McDonald's that she DoorDashed, and it's talking about breakfast, starting the day off right. And I go, man, what about that is right? It's all corn, soy, it's all these inflammatory oils and this fake food, and that is starting the day off right. And to me, that is just absolutely bogus. And another commercial that I saw that I just wanted to share really quick, it was this dog food one. Now, I'm not an advocate for kibble, but that's not the point of this. There was this commercial, it was for Hills. You know the Hills dog science did that food commercial, I think is the name of it. So there's this lady and she's playing with her dog, and the dog looks very overweight and it looks tired. And it goes to walk up the stairs and it can't. And so the girl immediately recognizes that and looks on her phone, and she's going through pictures of, like, she's giving the dog pizza. The dog's eating all these foods it shouldn't be eating. And then she goes online and orders different dog food. And then flash forward a couple months, the dog comes running downstairs. He's super happy. He's energetic. He's lost all this weight. And he goes and eats this food that he really enjoys. And I go, man, the dogs have a better idea of it about eating correctly. They just made a commercial for an overweight dog. And the owner immediately recognized this dog is overweight because of what it's eating. We need to change what it's eating. But then when I see commercials for people who are overweight, what do we see? We see GLP-1 agonists. We see all these Ozempic, these medications. And as they're talking about the side effects of all these medications, you see in the background, it's all these people, they're sitting down having cocktails and all these little platter spreads and all these things. And it made me laugh genuinely, because I said, man, when it comes to us, we're pushing medication and reliance on certain medical companies. But when it comes to the dogs, it was, oh, we got to change its diet.
Right.
And it blew my mind that we're doing that for dogs before we're doing it for us.
Yeah, it's crazy. We've talked about this before, but you take your dog to the vet, they ask you what the dog's eating. You go to the doctor as an individual, never going to ask you what you're eating.
Nope, not even on
the
concern.
First question you're going to get is, what's your pharmacy and where can we put this prescription? Because we're here to give you medicine. That's all we're here to talk about.
Yeah, they come in, the cap off the pen, ready to sign.
Right? Man, Garrett, this has been awesome. I've got one final question. I could talk to you for another hour. Unfortunately, I got another call coming up here. My last question is, a lot of people watching this are new, they're considering carnivore, they're hesitant. What advice would you give to someone if they're thinking about starting carnivore, but they just can't wrap their brain around it?
For me, it was just, there was a lot of things that I really struggled with and things that I didn't want to consider when I started. But if I could give one thing, it's what I talked about before. It's look at those who are doing it for themselves. Look at those who are doing it for themselves, not just telling you what to do, but genuinely do the research, be independent, be curious, ask questions. That's the good thing. There's not just one answer I can give. But for everyone who's new, the second you have a question, I want you to get online. I want you to Google. I want you to go on YouTube. I want you to sit down and watch videos, because that's what I did. And I followed the three doctors right off the bat that I would just recommend is Dr. Sean Baker, Dr. Anthony Chafee, and Dr. Ken Berry, probably the best one in my opinion. These are all advocating for carnivore. They all do carnivore and they all give great explanation. Do it to the best of your ability. If you need a crutch, so if you still have stuff that's in your diet that's not the best, but you need it to help you transition, continue to do that. I'd rather you focus on progress, not perfection. You want to slowly get to that point. This is a whole nother conversation, but I got hit really bad with the keto flu because I didn't transition well. Take it slow, take it day by day, be intentional with what you're eating, be intentional with everything and do the research. And that is really the best advice I could give. It's not a one size fits all, but if the second you have a question, you better ask someone and you better find resources. That's the great thing about this century is that there's these resources. Like the only reason I'm doing this video interview is because I emailed Carrie and he was kind enough to reply to me. And that's why we're doing this. You know, be curious, ask questions and find the research and it'll show up. That's what I've been doing. I'm sure that's what Carrie's done several times and it works. And listen to the anecdotal stories. I recommend getting in a Facebook group chat. That's what I'm in. I'm in a carnivore lifestyle one. Lots of anecdotal stories and lots of just advice and people who have been doing it that can encourage you, that you can ask questions for. And just continue to be curious. That's really my main point.
That's a great, great answer. I did the same thing, doing the research. And the beautiful thing is, it's free. That was what blew my
mind. Absolutely,
I'm watching all these Ken Berry videos. I'm like, where's the program I got to pay $1,000 for? There's something. I'm like, it's nothing. It's all
free. Did I meet my deductible yet?
And any question you have, what about gout and carnivore? What about fiber? What about heart disease? Mm-hmm. They've all been asked and answered. Yep. Just do the research. It's all out there.
Yeah.
So this has been amazing, Garrett. I really appreciate your time. Open invite if you want to come back. You got to do your own, no pressure. You got to do your own YouTube channel. I will shout it out. I would love to.
I know. I've got to start one. I've been meaning to. I want to do what Saladino kind of does, where he goes into the grocery stores and he's like, don't eat this. Here's why. You know, I want to get into it. This is definitely something I'm very passionate about. So
I think this is
the catalyst of it.
Yeah. You're passionate. You're well spoken about it too. I think we're going to get a lot of comments on this video. People saying, where can I see more of Garrett? So
yeah,
you don't have the YouTube channel yet, but is there anything else you want to mention or shout out or have me link to before we wrap up?
I mean, I have a Facebook. That's about it. Okay. And I mean, I'm active in, there's this one group, it's called Carnivore Lifestyle. But I can give you all that info. Okay. My name on Facebook is just Garrett Allen. It's my name right here on this video, but we can link it. I can send you all that stuff just so Perfect. It's there for people to click on.
Sounds good. I will have links in the description below that Garrett just mentioned. And thank you so much, Garrett. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, Kerry, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.